Hello, we study from the writings of Baal Sulam, page 757, letter 55 in Hebrew. There is no English translation, so we'll do our best. You are welcomed to ask questions at Cobb TV. Relevant questions will be aired. The writings of Baal Sulam, page 757 in Hebrew, letter 55. We should start with the verse. We have to be okay. We need to examine the words of our sages, that their words are like fire. And it is said that 1 hour of repentance and good deeds in this world is better than all the life of the next world. And 1 hour of contentment in the next world is better than the entire life of this world. It seems that seemingly the beginning of this sentence and its end contradict one another. Because after they've decided that 1 hour in the next world is better than the entire life of this world, and if so, then they refer to the spiritual life of this world, meaning repentance and good deeds. Because we cannot, God forbid, suspect that the Mishnah speaks of the life of the imaginary pleasure that is accustomed between wicked, fools, and so on, because our sages have said that wicked are called dead in their lives, meaning that same form of life that the wicked can resemble to, this form is death itself. Meaning it is opposite from life and happiness, in a way that the death that the wicked understands as the absence of the imaginary pleasure is a sense of a lie, because the absence of a mundane pleasure is not opposite from life that would be worthy of the definition of death, but only the presence of the corporeal pleasures that the wicked receive and rejoice in them. They are those who become into a partition of iron and separate them from the life of lives and make them dwell in the world of death. As it is said, he is the Satan, he is the evil inclination, he is the angel of death. And accordingly, it is clearly revealed what the Mishnah means when it says the life of this world. They imply on the spiritual life in this world, because what the sages speak of heals, and they won't speak faulty words, God forbid. And about this it is said that 1 hour of contentment in this world is better than it, than this whole world. And if so, why? How come they've added to this verse that another hour of good deeds and repentance in this world is better than all the life of the next world? And we should not divide and say that the matter of repentance and good deeds refers to labor and patience, because the one who stands casted from the life of this world, they've said in the beginning that 1 hour of contentment of this world is better than it. Indeed, the exertion that brings no pleasure is better than the spiritual world in this world, that is much better than the life of the next world. These words are not acceptable, but only between those who are low in their mind, and they will never be brought to the table of our sages, because the sages have already defined in the Holy Zohar that in that place where there is exertion, there the evil inclination dwells, since the evil inclination is a lack, and so as everyone who follow him. Whereas sanctity, there is perfection, and the workers of sanctity are perfect, with no exertion, but only pure pleasure and happiness. And you should follow that verse. And before we penetrate to the depth of the words of our sages, I will define you thoroughly the meaning of the following words: this world and the next world, in the words of our sages. And this is as it was brought in the Zohar in the name of the book of the Bahir. They asked Rabbi Rachmai, what is the next world and what is the end of correction? And he answered in this world and the next, meaning that the abundance is about to come to us. And you should read thoroughly there. And you see the difference and the separation between this world and the next, since this matter is what attained in the present, or we have already attained in the past, whereas the matter of the next world, which we haven't attained yet now in the present, rather we are worthy of reaching it in the future, meaning after a time will pass. But they both refer to what a person attains and receives in this world, because the meaning of the reward of the soul, the desired reward of the soul, in the future that is brought in the Zohar, is defined only in the word in the future, in the end of correction. Meaning that before the correction, the people in this world are not fit to receive it whatsoever, whereas the souls that are abstract, that are without a body, or at the end of correction, that then this world would rise to the great virtue of the world of Atzilut. And it is not a time to elaborate here. It is written that in the beginning our forefathers were the workers, were idolatry workers, but now the Creator brought us to His work. Terach, the father of Abraham, and so on. We need to understand the desire of the writer of the Haggadah in this relation to Terach, the father of Abraham, to remind us about our best times, the times of our freedom. But we find such things also in the Holy Torah, as it is written, in Terach died in Haran. The Creator told Abraham, go from your country, leave your country. And this proximity is perplexing, since the revelation of the Creator, the first revelation of the Creator to the first forefather, is the root and the nucleus of the whole of Israel, and the correction includes all the abundance and the future happiness that will be revealed to us, and also the abundance in the world for all the righteous and the prophets from the beginning till its end. And the same thing applies to the law of sanctity and spirituality, that the root itself includes all of its offsprings, which come and are revealed as a result. As our sages have said about Adam HaRishon, that included all the souls that are future to be revealed in the world. And also the elderly son includes all the sons that will be born afterwards. If so, they should have made a separation in these writings between Terach and the first revelation of Abraham, who's the root of everything, as we've mentioned above. And I need to explain here the matter of idolatry work and its root. And this, as it is written in the books, refers to the phrase, you will have no foreign God unto you. That what is understandable from it is that the Creator should not be idle to you, meaning that the work, worshipping an idle person, demands exertion, and this is idolatry. But the work of the Creator has to be with love and happiness, and then its place is sanctity and no other place. As it is written in the name of Baal Shem Tov, you will have no other God upon other either than me. Because the one who believes that there are other forces besides the force of the Creator that is called Elohim, he's worshipping idols, and it is deep. This is because the one who worships the Creator does not need no change in the corporeal order of events, since it is arranged in a good and pleasant and wondrous manner. As it is written in the Unification Song, you have not forgot anything in your desire, and you have not lacked one thing. You did not lack, and you did not prefer, and you did not do anything purposeless. And the corporeal order of events is arranged in such a way that all the people of the world will connect and will be fit to worship the Creator. As it is written, everything the Creator has done for His sake, He has done it. And as it is written, there was no happier day than the day when heaven and earth were created. And it is also written that the Creator saw everything He did, and it was very good. But this work is arranged in a proper manner in which it will eventually bring about the wondrous reward. As it is said, man's eye did not see any other creator besides you. And also the matter of the work and the reward that is arranged before our eyes in this world in corporeality. And here we see that every payment of a reward is according to the sorrow that is attained by the worker at the time of his work. But the concept of exertion and suffering, which are revealed during one's work, are measured at the extent of the farthing from the reward itself, from the time of the exertion. Because it is natural that the payments kill and uproot the suffering of the exertion, as it is said that it is not attained from one's sorrow whatsoever. And think on by yourself, when you sweep a cow with an ass, then you attain the same contentment that you attain with the same extent of the cow. At least, it doesn't matter, because otherwise you wouldn't have swapped the cow with an ass. And also the worker, if the landlord wouldn't have paid him in such an amount that brings him contentment, and no more, and no less than he thought to receive before he started his work, then he definitely did not swap his work with his reward, because the worker wants to gain and to receive contentment as a result of this work, and to not be nervous even more than the way he started his work, and that's simple and clear to all. But there are details here which are not always relevant, but we're talking about most cases. Because the price of the pleasure is relevant to most of the incidents in the world, not the details. And all we've said above refers to the fact that the body will not make no intellectual calculations. Rather, the body feels that there is a debt, which is more or less in the time of the work, and the payment do not cancel the fire of the pain of the exertion when one exerts oneself during his work. But it is a true calculation, because the body does not receive pleasure nor suffering from the future, but from the present. Thus, if the landlord would have paid the worker his payments in the present, meaning in every given moment, for each and every sensation, the Creator would have paid him a penny, then it's clear that he wouldn't feel that he exerts, because the payments would have canceled the pain and uprooted them. But the landlord won't do so. Rather, he will pay his payments at the end of his work, after one day, one week, or at the end of the month. Thus, the beastly body that does not receive pleasure nor suffers from the future will ache and will be concerned that he will receive his payment, since he is truly losing his labor corporeally. It turns out that the body that receives the payments did not work at all, and the body that worked and did not receive anything for his work is in separation, because he does not enjoy but from the current moment, and the sensation of the future is considered as an external body. Understand this thoroughly.
Let's start from the end, what we remember, what we just read. All our work is not to work for the reward at all, that today for work and tomorrow I'm getting my reward. We have to interpret these things correctly, but that the work, that will be my reward. I'm speaking shortly, but That's our goal, to reach a state that the exertion, the work, the opportunity to bestow to the others and through the others to the Creator, that is my reward. That's the way I want it to be. And for that, I'm willing to organize everything in my abilities. That's actually my correction. That's what I'm supposed to say. And then, you don't feel the past, the future, the present. There are no times. Because the times are measured only according to my deficiency and its fulfilling. If I don't have a deficiency and a fulfilling, but everything's equal, everything's whole and full and complete, so I stop feeling time. If I have nothing to attain here, and instead of to attain there, not in distance, not in times, not in all kinds of different relations between everybody, that everything for me turns to exertion, this whole world is, and that exertion is my reward. And that same place, that not before it and not afterwards, but everything. So then everything becomes this white, simple light that fulfills the entire reality. But for me, my approach is that from the exertion, but inside that exertion, the bestowal is already in there, and the pleasure as the goal. And that's how we reach the ascending above time, place, and movement, all the attributes of this world, that all the exertion is only to correct ourselves in every level of youth that shows up in us, to the state where there is no exertion, but only pleasure in what we are doing. Also in our world, we know that if I do some kind of action, and I feel in that action, I feel pleasure, so I don't have the feeling of agony, I don't feel my efforts, but pleasure, and that's it. Even though together with that, the body could be really putting great efforts in there, my energy, my calories are lost, but there is no feeling that I'm losing something, that later on, oh, I need to complete myself, but there's a feeling of pleasure and fulfillment. That all depends on the extent that man understands that he and whatever is outside of him, the others, are one and the same. As much as he sees that the entire world is his own. Because then, there's no exertion. Because all the exertion is between me and between what's outside of me. That I need to do something there, I have to give something there in order to receive something back from there. And if it's all one body, the exertion disappears. The passage from me to them and from them back to me, all the fears, anxieties, lack of security, pain and agony, it all disappears. Because in one body, it doesn't exist. It's as one. That's why all of our work is by the environment, through the efforts, through the reforming light, to reach that feeling that there is nothing outside of me, but in the true perception of reality, as he explains in the introduction to the book of Zohar, there, that's where I discover that except there's nothing except for one state in one place. That place is called Shekhinah or Malchut Avein Sof, and that state, that one state, is called Dvekut. That is about the last piece we read. And before that also, we have to understand, what does it mean that it's better 1 hour in this world than the whole life in the next world, and the opposite? What's the beauty of 1 hour in the next world than the whole life in this world? We're talking at the time of corrections, that of course it's like that, that if I don't do these corrections right now, in the state that my ego is still controlling me, so obviously I won't reach the implementing of the goal. So that's why that entire next world that's about to reveal the wholeness is less important than what I'm doing right now, on one hand. On the other hand, once I reach that whole state, so I'm sorry about that previous state where I was in exertion in this world. And when I connect those two situations, those two states, I reach a new state where I'm not lacking, not of youth, and not the pureness. And at once, they both exist, and then also the deficiency and also the fulfillment are both as one. Well, ask me, maybe it'll be better if you ask.
Joseph from the Jerusalem group is asking, what is the exertion, what does it stem from?
What does it stem from, the
exertion? What characterizes the exertion?
Okay. The exertion is according to what we read in the books and not what we believe. So first of all, that's what we have to set in stone. That exertion is only towards one direction. The state that me and the environment, I will feel that we are undividable. That, for me, is a measurement. That I give an example of the mother with her baby. Where does she want all her hopes to happen, all her dreams? In the baby. That's how man has to see in his friends that he wants his plans, the best things he can even imagine. It's very hard to think about it, but we must think and try and advance towards that. Only the kli, the vessel, that's what we need to prepare, meaning the place where we try and aren't able to unite. Because unity is when we don't feel changes in our desires, that they all are revealed as one complete, whole, mutual desire. When man exerts and invites, in every opportunity he can, he invites a reforming light, meaning he wants it to happen. He doesn't know what the light is. He wants it to happen. Then he starts seeing how pro he is or how against it he is, like the students of Rabbi Shimon, that they just discovered that mutual hate. But then you start being concerned to that alone, that that is my kli, the light is just waiting and still. And just if we prepare that mutual feeling between us that that is the only thing we're lacking, then man discovers that these things exist. But he has to discover them. On the path, it seems that all his friends already know about this and they are all there already. But he's the only one, the last one, just running after them. Where are you? Wait for me. And so on and so on, all kinds of these different ways of feeling. But then you have to concentrate in seeing the picture like this. We must hurry and do it, actually actualize it, because the times and the externality, that the way the Creator set them up, if we don't understand as much as we have to be ready, so the states, the external states, they need to obligate us to hurry, to finish the corrections in this first level, that we'll be able to take care of the world, that from us to the world will come the forces of unity, and the world will feel that it has to unite. That is the inner dissemination, that it is the true and effective dissemination. And we will see very soon how much we need to really quickly acquire the force of unity, especially in Israel, because we'll have riots and we'll have problems as usual. That external forces will start, the evil forces will start taking their payments. Obviously, it's all from the same source, that the Creator's behind it, but there's no mitzvah, there's no order that we have to love Haman, that is happy by the separation of the people of Israel. But we must, as quick as we can, to get ready for unity, and that we'll be able to fight against it.
So
wait for the summer and you'll see. From Zichron, they're asking us, what's the difference between the state that is depicted here, that work is the reward, to just an altruistic action that you enjoy giving to the others?
Enjoying to give to the others, it's a natural egoistic inclination within the person. There are people who love animals, people who love children, who love growing them, educating them. There are people who love flowers, plants. It's a type of an ego that enjoys concerning for another. And there are many various ways to it, various expressions, this world, the next world. And maybe people think it will bring them health, or think that they will be respected for such behavior, such attributes. And it might be just the way it is, just like a person doesn't really question most of his inclinations. He just has an inclination that demands its fulfillment. He does so and enjoys. The same thing applies to this fulfillment, to this inclination. There are people who go out to struggle against destruction of trees and whales in the sea and flowers and whatever. There are many such social movements. And in general, to help the needy and so on. A person is built in such a way that he also has such corporeal inclinations. I will tell you even more. I sometimes see in National Geographic or in such channels, such scientific channels, I sometimes watch them. So when I'm looking for something that it's worthwhile watching, according to my occupation, I see, I watch also something about animals. There's much to learn from them. So sometimes they say that animals connect to one another. Cat with a mouse, or a sheep and a tiger, and it exists. There are such cases. We're not talking about pets that about small infant animals that play and have no animalistic instincts. That's clear. But I'm talking about something also that is not a habit, that they were accustomed to live together, say a cat and dog. Rather, it just happens in nature. Meaning there are different things, but they're all within the ego. Yes.
The passing from when I see all the reward in me to when I see all the reward outside of me.
The fact that when you see that the whole reward is found outside of you is not outside of you. You, to the same extent, you connect to them and feel that it's yours, that it's within you, just like a mother that brings something to her baby. Yes.
From mother, it's instinctive. It's instinct, but for us, it's exerting.
Correct. That's an exertion with the addition of the light that reforms, because your exertion invites the light. Without the light, it won't happen. And thus, our exertion has to be precise and measured exactly according to what's written in the book, and according to what your teacher is telling you. Otherwise, you can exert yourself and won't be purposeful whatsoever.
Every time there's also, and again, sorrow that you forget about the friends, and then you think, hey, why didn't I think about them before?
Of course.
Is there a state that once I pass that, it's all, I'm done with it, and I'm there, or?
There is. There are different measures and manners of its own to regarding what a man has to feel sorry for. But if you will feel sorry in advance, it will help. What?
How can I be sorry in advance?
Yes, you can depict this picture the way it is. And to think, I awaken the dawn, the elderly person who walks bent, I'm looking for my right relation to the friends. What's my relation to the general Kli? Do I feel that it's my Kli? Do I feel that that's the only thing that exists, that it's not divided, that that's the reality, that that's divinity, that that's Knesset Yisrael or not? And to think about it more and more. By doing so, and to feel sorry, it's not an artificial sorrow. Rather, when a person thinks about that, he gradually starts to be accustomed to that and to make different actions in this direction. Yes, there's a guy there.
I'm an egoist.
Really? You're an egoist?
And this thing you're talking about is very far from me, light years away.
When did you start studying with us?
3 years.
Oh, really? Then that's already an entrance. Your one leg is already in.
What do I right now? What do I do? I can't even think of a state that I do any work without even wanting, expecting to receive something, not thinking that the work is the fulfillment. When am I going to get this and when is it going to happen?
You're asking for advice, right?
Right now, tell me what to do now.
What to do now? First of all, be seated. No, you can stand to listen. First of all, to be seated. To sit here every day, every morning, every moment you hear that we study, in every action we're doing to take part in it virtually, if you cannot do it physically, and if you can, make efforts to be as close as possible to us physically, because it influences on your perception. If the Creator arranged an ability, an opportunity for you to come physically, you have to come to advance, because He gave you this opportunity. If He didn't give you this opportunity, then you need to see whether you can do it or not. To be with us physically, and or to wait for a time when you'll be able to connect to us, to this entire mutual kli that exists, only that you are outside of it. Connect to it also when you're connect to it virtually, and be with us virtually. In short, to incorporate, to listen to what we're saying, and it will, the time will pass faster.
Yes.
Zev from Yochnam is asking, we're speaking about changing the ass with the cow. What does that mean?
Well, there's a matter of an ass and a cow in spirituality, but it's how we usually say that, swapping an ass with a cow. What do you have from having a cow and now having an ox? What have you attained as a result? You haven't attained a thing. There's no gain there. As if you've changed seemingly something, but de facto there was no essential change.
What?
More questions?
No.
What does man's success depend on once he has the opportunity to give exertion that he will really do it?
Didn't understand your question. I have an opportunity to exert myself. Right? I'm delighted. I thank for the opportunity that the Creator has reminded me about that, and I'm exerting myself in order to draw closer to the general kli, and I feel that I'm currently entering even deeper and being incorporated in that kli, and I'm between all the friends and between and within this one general desire, which I complete as much as I can, and I wish that the filling will be passed from me to them, and I want to be a passage to them, and together with them to be a passage to the whole world. And all of this is done to delight the Creator, who will be revealed amongst all of His creatures. So what?
How can I recognize that moment that I'm supposed to exert myself?
How to identify it? Just, I feel that's the way it is. That it's the time for exertion. Why should you feel that it's an exertion? You should feel that it's pleasure. Why do you look for exertion? You should exert to be between them, make an effort to connect those things together emotionally and rationally, and this will be your exertion. You don't need anything but seeing that this state is prepared before you this way. If on the way, you, in order to arrange these things, you need a group and humanity to reach this picture as fast as possible, then you have to exert yourself physically. You need to film something, you need to publicize something, to write something, and so on. But if you do not see such an opportunity, then by the study, by your participants, Any kind of participants. Yes.
This is the thing. We have opportunities to exert ourselves, and we don't see him, we don't recognize him. So, one, how do I recognize that I have an opportunity that they won't run away from me? Two, once I recognize the opportunity,
the fact that the friends around you also think about that and are concerned about that, and you should be concerned about them being constantly concerned.
It's kind of similar to Neve's question, but really it seems that the exertion, I'm talking during the day, when I get this awakening, and then it's not really exertion anymore, it's something that's natural. Now I'm going to give efforts towards the friends of the group, but is there some kind of...
You need to choose different means in order to be in that as much time as possible. Do you have, let's say, alongside with your work different songs or different quotes you listen to or something that reminds you about the goal? You need to arrange yourself in an environment that will be as friendly as possible, that will generate a feeling that you are found in the same desire with your friends. And which desire? In a desire to bestow. To reach reciprocal bestowal, to be in this mutual warmth that would fit more and more the revelation of the Creator, the revelation of the general attribute of bestowal. And through them, this will be revealed also to the whole world and the natural inner tubes. And then it will be the revelation of the Creator to His creatures. And by doing so, you bring Him contentment.
So you can say that the exertion and the real choice is when I'm preparing how my day will seem?
Also, yes.
Yes, Louis. Quick. How do we implement what you just explained to, in a workshop?
Okay, we'll make a workshop. Do we have a workshop tomorrow or not? She won. We have a workshop tomorrow. Okay, we still have a workshop. So we'll do a workshop about that.
How do we really do it? What you just said in the workshop. Until today, we're like, we say a lot, we learn a lot of Rabash, Bala Sulam. I don't feel that we're really implementing this thing you're saying right now.
It depends upon a person. What do you want me to do? You want me to make a workshop during which you will both speak and do it? Am I responsible on what you're doing? I'm giving you one thing and you think that it's another. Well, try to maybe watch the workshop or listen to it again. You can hear it again, listen to it again, especially if you will listen to what happened in the studio, not between you, because I talk to them more. You have to go through yesterday's workshop. That's worthwhile, especially worthwhile. There's someone else there. Go ahead. Gershon, give him the mic.
During ascending, when man feels he has the opportunity to put efforts, what does it mean that he's an old man that is bent over searching for the deficiency? What does that mean?
So go with it, then you're not an elderly person.
No, you say that specifically in these states you need...
No, if you feel that you have the power, you have the means, you have the place to exert, then just do it. We're talking about awakening the dawn. When I don't feel this way. Okay, we're moving to the next part. Move to the next part of the lesson.